first reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to be with you and continue on in our journey through Ephesians. So far, Paul has been just pouring out his amazement at all that God is now doing for his people, the church, through Christ. He started out this letter just realizing the blessing upon blessing that God has given his people, full of thanksgiving and joy for all that God is doing in Christ. And then in awe of the fact that God did this when we were dead in our sin and could do nothing to help or save ourselves, it's at that moment that God intervened to save us through Christ by grace. And so now, last week as we learned, there is no Jew or Gentile, there is no barrier, there is no divide. All are welcome and all are one in the same Christ through this same gospel. And so we get to this passage today in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul, swept up in the beauty and the glory of all that God is doing, is about to launch into this prayer, I think, this marvelous prayer. For this reason, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And I think he's about to go on and say, I kneel before the Father and I bring this prayer before you from verse 14. But midway through this thought, it occurs to him, I've left something important out. That is, as perhaps the identity that he has here as the prisoner of Christ Jesus rattles in his mind, he realizes there is a question that these Ephesian Christians, these Gentile background believing Christians, will have hot on their minds, and I've not addressed it. And it's this: don't your chains prove, Paul, that we are not as one as you think we are? That is, Paul, remember, is in prison right now. He is writing this letter from prison to these Gentile Christians in Ephesus. And he's in prison because the Jews have put him there for teaching that the Gentiles are now included in the promises of God. And so Paul has to take this detour for just a moment to offer some explanation for this important hot topic, hot question at the forefront of the Gentile minds. Don't your chains show that we are not as one as you think we are? And Paul's answer, I think, comes in two parts, and then there's an encouragement. He says, yes, we are one in Christ, but this mystery is still being revealed. And then he says, yes, we are one in Christ, and the church is going to show it to the world. And then he offers an encouragement. Be encouraged, therefore, in spite of my suffering for you. So let me unpack those points just a little bit for us. The first point, yes, we are one in Christ, but this is a mystery that is still being revealed. Did you notice how many times in these short verses the word mystery is used? This mystery that was first made known to Paul, he says in verse 3. This mystery that was hidden to earlier generations but now has been revealed by God, by his Spirit, in verses 5 and 9. This mystery that has now been particularly entrusted to Paul, the servant of this gospel and the minister of God's grace to the Gentiles, in verse 2 and verse 7. And Paul tells us what this mystery is. In verse 6, he makes it plain that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And verse 12, that in Christ, through faith in Christ, we all may approach God with freedom and confidence. That is the mystery that is now being revealed in Christ, and as the Spirit is poured out on God's people, is that now all people everywhere have access to God through Christ. Whatever your background, whatever your story, in Christ we all have equal claim to God's promises. We are all equally called part of his family, his children. We are his heirs in Christ. But make no mistake, this was a mystery that needed to be uncovered and unraveled and unveiled to the people, because God's eternal plans were only now being revealed after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus and the sending of the Spirit now, which fell not only upon the Jewish people but upon the Gentile background believers as well. All who are in Christ receive the Spirit. It would be hard to overstate how, up until this point, how separate the Jews and the Gentiles were in their culture, in their living, in their worship. And now, God's eternal plans to make one people of all nations for himself are being revealed. And God is opening the eyes of the people to see it and the hearts of the people to understand that this has always been God's plan, that in Christ he would make one people for himself from every tribe and language and nation and tongue. Yes, we are one in Christ, Paul says, but this mystery is still being revealed. And then point two, Paul goes on to say, yes, we are one in Christ. And you know, the church will show this to the world. We're one in Christ, and the church will show it to the world in its diversity. As Paul goes out and preaches to the Gentiles in verse 8, the boundless riches of Christ, and as the Gentiles receive and believe this wonderful message of the gospel, their inclusion into the church and the subsequent hodgepodge of peoples that will begin to make up God's church will indeed show off to the world that we are one in Christ. It will glorify, magnify, and show off how beautiful and far-reaching and powerful God's all-encompassing plans are to save anyone in Christ. And it was God's plan from the very beginning that the church's very makeup would bear witness to this magnificent, beautiful plan of God, of all that he has accomplished in Christ, as we read in the passage. His intention was that now, through the church, verse 10, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, that in him and through faith in him we all may approach God with freedom and confidence. Yes, we are one in Christ, and the church is going to show this to the world. And so Paul ends by saying, be encouraged. Ephesian Christians, Gentile background believing Christians, be encouraged. My chains are not to discourage you. My chains show off the importance of your inclusion. My chains show off the importance of our oneness. And so he says in verse 13, don't be discouraged, therefore, because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. That is, Paul totally understands it. It's absolutely reasonable and rational that you might be questioning how Christ's church can truly be one when I'm in prison now for teaching you that. But don't think that my suffering and my chains are proof of your exclusion. Rather, see and recognize that my sufferings for you are proof of just how important it is that you are included. That this is a non-negotiable in the gospel message. Your inclusion is so important that these chains are worth it, Paul says, to raise the volume of how important this issue is in the gospel. Oneness in Christ for Paul was non-negotiable, because oneness in Christ was non-negotiable for Jesus. All are welcome through him. The sinner, the outcast, the rich, the poor, the man, the woman, whatever your background, whatever your vaccination status, all are welcomed in Christ.